William Edward Binney, that's his full name. I call him a patriot. I mean, when he leaves this earth and on his tombstone, I hope it says, "Here lies a patriot," because he was worked at the NSA, very high-level official, or whatever you want to call him, in the NSA. He was working developing one of the world-class code developers, code breakers, whatever. He could probably be better to tell you what his expertise was, but he developed spy systems to be used outside of the country. When he found out that in violation of the Bill of Rights, in violation of the Fourth Amendment specifically, that this was coming to America, that this was all about searching you, he turned whistleblower. He is a hero. It's an honor to have him on. William Binney, welcome back to the Power Hour, my friend.
Well, thanks. It's good to be back with you.
Yes. Let's start. We talked about a little last hour before you came on, but I want to talk to you. You were considering coming. You couldn't come to the conference. It was short notice. I completely understand. But you were one of the people who was very interested in this concept of, you know, patriots coming together, influencers coming together to be able to find solutions. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of what came from the meeting and kind of get your feelings and response. The basic gist of it is, Sheriff Mack was there, and he stood up in you know, part of a back and forth debate. It wasn't heated at that point, but there was a little contention back and forth about naming our enemy. And somebody's talking about communists. Other people are talking about pharmaceutical companies. You know, the list goes on and on. Blah blah blah. And Sheriff Mack stood up, only the way a sheriff can do. Put his two hands out front. Says the enemy doesn't matter. Your enemy is anybody who violates the Bill of Rights. And it just hit me. It was like the most profound, simple thing of the whole conference. And through that, we had been working this idea of sheriffs, of local militia, which is the people, which is in the Constitution, and pastors, then with the people in general. Those four areas that you focus on them at the local level, they have more authority than Washington. They have more authority than the President of the United States. They can stop mandatory vaccines. They can stop any, EPA coming in. They can stop CPS from taking your child without due process. They can stop a bank from taking your home without a trial by jury. All these things can stop. And so that right there is the crux of our solution. And that's the basics that came out of this meeting, and then some mechanisms how to do it. Your thoughts on that?
Well, to me, that sounds like a really great way to proceed, and I agreed wholeheartedly with your sheriff there because, the Bill of Rights is basically the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. So I believe in the just focusing on the Constitution, and a lot of people say, well, it's an old document, we need it updated. No, it's a fundamental document. They fail to understand the fundamentals of the document itself. They lay out the rights of humans, and those don't change no matter what eon you're in. Those rights are still the same, and that's the beauty of it, and that's why we've been the beacon for the world for a long time, because those were the things that we stood for, and that's really the fundamental basis for our forming our government, and that's why I say that people in Washington have been committing treason against the founding principles of our nation for a long time.
I am, I've thought these things, and we've talked about especially the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. We've been very aggressive, more than, most shows, especially of our size, maybe more than any show of our size, talking about these things. But even me, it's like it became so crystal clear. Communist, this, that, it doesn't matter who the enemy is. And what we've seen is we begin to go out and reach out with this concept just on a real limited basis in the last couple of days. The people who will be on board, you gotta understand, Edward Griffin gave one of the great, he was supposed to speak for about 10 minutes, he spoke for like an hour. It was one of the great speeches on the truth movement and massing humanity I've ever heard in my life. It was unbelievable. And he talked about the rings within the rings and how there's the 3% and then the 15% and then the 85% they don't care, they won't do anything. They're just going to move with whoever wins. So whichever side wins, and how you got to then contact the 3% and get them to motivate the 3% as to motivate the 15%. And you're using your target audience. Our target audience already knows their enemy, and their enemy to them is anybody that is restricting their life, whether it's, oh, I'm scared of, your thought on that, that specific point.
No, no, I think that's absolutely right, and that's all. That's all of what's written into the Constitution, right? The pursuit of happiness and all of that is written in there, and it's you know, the fundamentals of the of our nation, and that's why it's that's why I found it so hard to believe that internally in NSA we had so many generals, admirals, and what have you, who would just trade off the oath of office to protect and defend that Constitution for you know, money and business and contracts and power. So that's really why I had to leave NSA in the October of 2001, along with Kirk Wiebe and Ed Loomis. So we couldn't stay and be a part of that.
Another part of this that I didn't realize, and not to make excuses for people, really the blame is us, but anyway, I didn't realize to this extent. You know, when these county commissioners are elected, not forget the national, because it's so engrossed, but even on the county level, when they're elected commissioner, you have NGOs or sheriff. You have NGOs who are private corporations that have used their influence with government to get government grants that they're now using to fund these NGOs. They'll go to the county commissioner and say, hey, come to our commissioner's meeting. Here's a trip to Vegas or wherever we're having it in Florida, in Orlando. Bring your family. Here's a ticket.
Yeah.
They bring them there. They wine and dine them. It's all fun. All the other commissioners from all the other countries or counties are there, and they train them on, here's what a county does. Here's how we're doing resiliency. We're doing, a sustainable development. All these, and they are literally injecting these UN principles in there. And it's so benign. If you weren't hypersensitive to this, I promise you, you'd probably go right along with it too. Your thoughts on that?
It's like if you don't pay attention, you know, you're going to lose your rights. That's the whole point. Yeah. And I keep saying that democracy is not a spectator sport. You have to participate and you have to pay attention, because people are always trying to twist things and they have their own agendas and they try to distort things. So,
well, those NGOs and what have you, they're there promoting their agenda, who they represent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nobody is in these commissioners and sheriff's ear with your agenda. And what made it so, I can't even tell you how profound that moment was when Sheriff Mack stood up. It was like a bomb went off. Our enemy, we already know our common cause is we want rule of law, Bill of Rights, liberty, and to be left the hell alone.
Yep.
That's it.
Right. That's all.
That's all. That's it. And that is more powerful.
Our founding fathers, you know, that was the whole idea.
And that idea and that concept, not, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are trying to kill you, not the communists are in education, not all those things are true. The idea that will overcome them all and is so easy to sell to that 3 and 15% is just what I said. Those four things, Bill of Rights, rule of law, founding liberty, God-given liberty, and just leave me alone. That's it.
I'm with you on that.
And they've already identified their enemy. If they're going to help you, they already know who their enemy is. And so this is what we are working on, systems around this, and this is going to fly, William, and I know that you'll get involved as we do, but I just wanted to bring this up, kind of get your overview. Is there any other thoughts or questions you have, and then we'll move on to some other things.
No, except that if we can get that basically community organizations going around the country, that could really change things radically, and that to the better, of course. But so I just think that that's absolutely the right way to go, you know. And the faster we get there, the sooner we can get these problems resolved.
Yes, let's go to some more in the news type topics. I am just sick to death about Roger Stone and him being jerked back and forth. And, you know, it's just so obvious there's been bias there. The judge won't recuse himself. The judge won't. I mean, we're seeing a double standard here. But comment to the you're close to Washington. What is the environment? What is really going on in the Justice Department here?
What it is, it appears to me anyway, and this is my view of it. It appears that there's a deep-seated deep-seated fifth column, if you will, in the Justice Department that was embedded there by the exiting Democratic party, basically the Obama group. And he spread around the ability to look at many forms of collection of data, like, for example, NSA's collection. That he basically had that set in such a way that any of the 16 agencies could look at that data, which meant it was a larger set of people involved in the ability to leak data, if you will. And that's really what's been happening, I believe. You could start right in the National Security Council, and that's basically the president has been weeding out some of them. He hasn't done anywhere near enough. You know, that's the problem. The embedding has been so deep that they really have a lot more to go to get rid of some of the people who are not conducive or not interested in getting the country to move forward in a positive way. They're interested in defeating the president. So, you know,
why not? Well, the question, why hasn't Trump removed them? Why haven't they been identified? Is it
probably
that bad?
Probably because there's too many of them. I mean, I looked at it this way. When, you know, there was like 2,000 lawyers, former and current lawyers of the Department of Justice who said that Barr should resign.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. That's a flag to tell you where the bad apples are. Here are 2,000 of them. You know?
Here's where to start.
Yep, that's right. So, I mean, that kind of thing. Just when you have somebody like that stands up and says that kind of thing, it pretty much puts it clear. You know, who wants to work for the betterment of the country and who doesn't?
Barr,
at least, is trying to, you know, he's trying to get to ground truth on a lot of things, and that's not, we've not had that for a long time. And, you know, so it's, you know, I just look at it as, you know, more power to him. I hope he doesn't resign, you know, because of what the president has been saying. The president, everything he says is true. I mean, you listen to what he says. He says, you know, the judge was you know, kind of a fair trial because of the
arbiter,
judge and
yeah.
what the judge did. Sure, I mean, that judge wouldn't let my testimony in it, but that would have presented the forensics of the show that was not a hack. So,
William, pause right there because I don't think our audience understands this. In this trial, not only did the judge let obviously biased jurors into the jury pool, but you, as an expert of experts, gave forensic conclusive proof that these claims of different hacking and stuff just weren't even true, and the judge wouldn't even allow them to be. Please explain this.
Well, no, that's exactly right. I mean, the judge would not allow that testimony into the court, according to the lawyers that for Roger Stone. That's what the information I got from them. They said that basically the judge said, well, that's all irrelevant because, you know, the only thing that mattered was that he lied to Congress. Well, first of all, there's a debate over that too. You know, because of there's video saying that what he said was right out of that video, and it was true from the horse's mouth, and he just simply said what was there, and they basically didn't allow that in either. So, you know, it was clearly a filtered process. They filtered data out or information, factual evidence that was exculpatory to, you know, for Roger. And they filtered it out, and they wouldn't allow it in. Well, that's kind of a prejudiced court. So from my
kind of.
Well, okay, it was just a prejudiced court, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, it's the whole idea then is that you should have had some form of follow-up that would have said, hey, you know, this is not right, but... And the judge should have been able to say, you know, this person needs to have this information and the court needs to have this information. It's the truth of the matter. And if you don't want the truth in your court, what kind of court do you have?
Great question. Let me ask you specifically about something I kind of found, not kind of, did found real interesting. As before we even got to this point, the judge told Roger Stone he couldn't speak about the trial, basically couldn't defend himself. Then the media came out and kind of poisoned the well for the future that, oh, you know, this is sour grapes. Donald Trump is going to have to move to protect the Roger Stone because Roger Stone was covering for him. So before we even got to this point and we've seen what we've seen, it's like these stories have been planted to poison our minds so that now if Donald Trump does pardon him, then the other side is going to say, see, 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 look what happened. I was very fascinated by the calculation. That seemed very calculated to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But to my point of view is very simple. It's quite clear that you could demonstrate the bias of the court. And so to me, everything else doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter to me what they said because it was clearly demonstrable that they were that the court was prejudiced against the defendant. And so were the juries. So, you know, so I really say it wouldn't matter to me because it's obvious.
What is it? What do you make of Flynn? Because we're hearing reports. His lawyers have been on TV very adamant that they actually changed his testimony and said, you're lying, and actually changed it.
That's right. They changed the 302s, the reports that the FBI people, McCabe and somebody else, I can't remember her name, there are other ones they accused of doing it. You know, the ones who have been kind of resigned or something like that and need to be charged with different felonies, but, you know, in my mind anyway. But so they were the ones who did who've been accused of making the changes to the 302s. Well, that's modifying, and that was done after the fact, you know, like a month after or something like that. That kind of prejudice is the issue too, and you can't introduce that kind of thing into court and say this is the interview when in fact that becomes perjury, and the perjury is on the part of the federal government, you know, through the FBI.
What are we supposed to think? I mean, our people are sitting at home listening. The Power Hour audience is listening to this. Is like this is the most. What kind of? I mean, what kind of government do we have? What kind of justice department do we have?
That's the point. Yeah, this is what our government has come to. I mean, they actually fabricated evidence against us, Tom Drake, Kirk Weavey, Ed Loomis, and I, and Diane Rourke. They fabricated evidence and tried to put us under the threat of a 35-year prison sentence for espionage or something under the 1917 Act, you know. So,
but we'll talk a little bit about.
Though, we could,
yeah, what you
well,
did.
In each case, we could show that they were fabricating the evidence and that they you know, it was clearly malicious prosecution. So we threatened them with it, and they went away. But that's the only reason we are not in jails, because we actually did follow what they were doing and documented it and had that documentation ready for the courts. Otherwise, we'd have been in jail, too.
Let me ask you a kind of a personal question. You know, you are obviously a patriot. You're obviously very convicted about your ideals. The Bill of Rights means something to you. And I don't mean to comment. I don't want you to comment particularly on what you see or what have you, or give us commentary. I want to know what Bill Binney thinks. He's sitting on his couch and he's looking at all this. What goes through your mind when you see it's on a personal level?
Well, I'm having a hard time seeing, not understanding why more Americans aren't standing up and objecting to what's really going on.
Have you come to any answers? Do you have any thoughts on that? Why aren't we?
Well, I think, I guess my impression is that they appear to trust government certainly more than they are certainly more than they're justified to have. So in that way, you know, that way they seem to. It's like, well, for example, take the Russiagate issue. Here you have the government saying Russiagate, Russiagate, Russiagate from different and the media, the mainstream media, or if you want to call it the lamestream media, have been pushing the same thing: Russiagate, Russiagate, Russiagate. But when it comes down to it, you look really close at it, none of them have any evidence of any of it. You know, they talked about the trolls in 2016. They're talking about trolls this time. Well, the trolls that Mueller and Rosenstein in his indictment, they accused the Internet Research Agency out of St. Petersburg in Russia as being a troll for the Russian government. And of course, the IRA, as it is, said, no, we're not associated with them. So they sent lawyers over here to challenge it in court. And so when it got into court, the government could prove absolutely nothing. They had no evidence whatsoever. So in other words, it's totally fabricated by them. So what happened? Well, the judge reprimanded the government, said you're never to say this again about them being a troll for Russia because you have zero evidence that they are. And you know, the only Aaron Mattel was the only one that I'm aware of that reported that. The mainstream media kept it all quiet. Why?
Wow.
Because it discredits the entire argument, the agenda they've been pushing, Russia, Russia, Russia. So let's not, because it also says in the long term they've been wrong for so many years in so many ways, you know.
Well, what you just said, I had two thoughts. One of the most important one for me is this makes the plan that we discussed this weekend all the more important because you're not dealing with somebody that you can't touch. You can, when I mean touch, you know what I mean. I don't mean violently, but you can touch your county commissioner. You can, I mean, these small counties, you could, heck, you had $5,000, you could run for county commissioner, sheriff,
yeah,
whatever. I mean, you can, ladies and gentlemen, the people can control that. We can't control Washington anymore. You can control your county with a little effort and a little orca. That's what we're trying to be, to trying to create some shape. I mean, the more I talk to you, I'm actually more excited about this plan. I don't know what comes to your mind.
No, I think that's really a great plan. If we can get that going on a large scale, I mean, that should help resolve the problem. I mean, at least start to get rid of some of the what I would call slime and filth running our government.
Well, what it will do, it'll probably create pockets. At least there's pockets of legality. You know, it'll create pockets of liberty, and I think they'll be able to grow and be able to fit together.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds good to everybody. But how do we get there from here? It's going to be a journey, and we're going to need your prayers, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking to a patriot right here. It's an honor to have him, William Binney. Of course, just an absolute hero. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. We just have a little conversation with Will Benny on if that bled over. Welcome back. ThePowerMall.com, that's where all the great specials are. I'm not going to go into detail today, maybe tomorrow. But vitamins, get your body up, your toothpaste, your toothbrush. This virus seems to be serious. And if it isn't, certainly the way they're going about it is serious. And just look at the countries. This is outside China now. Italy, South Korea, Iran. I mean, why would they? I mean, just Australia, I'm sure, is a part of this. Now we're hearing. So is this come? If this comes here, let's take the over-under. Let's make a bet on how fast your Walmart will disappear from any viable food source. So be prepared. 877-817-9829, course, Cass Ingram's protocol, other great products, magnesium, selenium, zinc, vitamin C, oregano, oregaresp, colloidal silver. All these things are vitally important. Vitamin D. Vitamin D is one of the most important. Vitamin D. And it's the quality of the products. You know, when the rubber meets the road, we always talk about rubber meet the road issues. The mandatory vaccines is a rubber meet the road issue. What I mean by that is I'm saying I'm not getting a vaccine. They say, meaning the government, yes, you are. It's mandatory. No, I'm not. And they say, well, we're going to make you. You see, at some point, the rubber meets the road. It's not just a difference of opinion anymore. It's a rubber meet the road moment. Well, that's what we're having with this virus issue. It's coming down. It's a rubber meet the road issue. And when your life's on the line, do you want a filter that was cheaper? Do you want a filter because whatever? You want the filter that works. You want the oregano that works. Do you want to buy it on Amazon and you don't even know if it's Chinese made and is going to be harmful for you? Remember Cass Ingram talking about that? Is if it's going to be harmful for you or actually work. When the rubber meets the road, these products, that's what the Power Mall is about. When the rubber meets the road, these products are going to be there for you. That's what very important for me that I can promise to you, and that's what we're doing. Uncle Kevin wanted to.
Yeah, I saw something on Fox last night about what you were just talking about, the Chinese goods. They're smuggling them in. 10% of all Chinese goods, just what they've checked, are fake. Fake cancer medicines, fake vitamins, fake silencers, fake everything.
Fake.
And they said the biggest distributor of them is Amazon and eBay and places like that.
Well, sure, there's no accountability.
There's no accountability.
Store. You can just put it up there. People buy it, and then where's it going to go? Where's your recourse?
Yeah.
You know, and you're not
you don't know if they're good or
you don't know. You just it's got the same label.
Same label. You don't know if it's fake or not.
Well, look, I got this label here. I got it.
What do you mean? That was on Fox last night. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. Very important. Anyway, thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com. Thank you for your support. This is how we're funded. And what we're doing, we're gonna need your support. And I mean, we have I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this conference was amazing. And there's a spark of a solution that's going to come out of this. And we're going to be able to make some headway and liberty, rule of law, consciousness, freedom, leave me alone. That's what we want, isn't it? That's our common cause. Everybody that you know that would be supportive of this, that they believe in every one of those four things. That's our common cause. So, be ready. Anyway, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Of course, we always need your support. You need to think about these things. We got food storage on sale, 20% off, cheap as you can get anywhere. Because I love you. Because we're here for you. And if you don't buy those things, buy something. Rice and beans, anything. Think about it. Just look at, you don't believe me, don't believe China, look at Italy. Look at the shelves there, gone. Anyway, 877-817-9829. Getting back to the great William Binney. William, we didn't talk about this during the break or anything, but I didn't get your thoughts about the virus or what you see or what your perspective on the economy of it or anything.
On the virus coming out of China?
Yeah, coronavirus, yeah.
You know, if you look over history and look over, you know, like the last 30 years or so, all of these yearly repeating viruses, most of them seem to be coming from China. You know, they're coming out of their chicken farms or something. So there must be something wrong with the Chinese chickens, or else, you know, the Chinese are actually doing biological experiments and not very good at containing them.
One or the other, or they meant to do this. Do you, I'm trying to figure out from the very beginning, and at this point, I don't know that it matters as much, but is this really serious, or is this just being used to control people and quarantine them, or some combination of both? I mean, I don't know if you have a sense of that.
I don't really, but I know that the Department of Health here would want to control the spread or try to limit the spread of it in any way they could, so... And you can't blame them, you know, because if you looked at the influenza virus back in 1918, that was I don't know how many millions were killed here in the United States. I think it was 20 or 30 million worldwide. But so that's a serious issue, and certainly they want to do their best to stop it. So but the actions they take, I would not object to, because they're trying to do the best they can. That's the way I'd look at it.
Why haven't they stopped flights from China? I mean, they don't want the economy to collapse here too, or what? Scare people, or what?
I don't understand that either. I mean, after all, flights from China are bringing in highly probable contaminated people. So,
all right, I know you're not.
If they do that, they should have been testing them and quarantining them for a period of 2 weeks or something for the gestation period of that virus.
A month. I would do a month. I mean, Ellis Island, they did 40 days. That's where the word quarantine comes from. It's 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me go on a little different subject here. I don't know. What's your familiarity with this Jedi contract? Catherine Austin Fitz talks about this quite a bit. What do you know about that?
I'm not familiar with that.
All right, then that's, let me put it, let me ask you in terms of this that you might be familiar with. What do you make of the surveillance capabilities? Obviously, that's one of the things that made you leave the NSA. Let me just simply ask you, for the average person in this country, how surveilled are we?
Everybody's surveilled to the nth. I mean, they are copying and collecting everything off the fiber network. That's all phone calls, emails, chatter, website, visitations, all of that. So it's everything that everybody does electronically, including, credit card purchases, all of that.
Where does that information
go? Bank transactions too, so.
Where does it go?
It's distributed in several different storage facilities. And the main one, I think, is the one in Utah, the million-square-foot facility out of Bluffdale. But there's also another one that's about 600,000 square feet down in San Antonio, Texas. There's more at the NSA, of course, including a supercomputer building, and there's also more in different places like Denver and down in Fort Gordon, Georgia. So it's a number of places, and it's a distributed storage network, so that they, if they, you know, need more storage or they want to store something somewhere, they can do that. And then all the interrogation routines would have all of that indexed, so that once they pull your name out, they would send a, just like Google does, you know, so it would send a circular query to all their databases. And so that's fundamentally how it works.
So hold on. So you're telling me that if they wanted to question you, which they have, if they want to question somebody, they put your name in and our conversation we're having right now would come up.
That's right.
I mean, how freaked out should we be on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, it's a direct violation of the First, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments of the Constitution, because they're actually using this data to put people in jail for common crime. And it's the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, and the FBI are the two main ones doing it, going directly into the NSA database looking for crime, common crime inside the country. And that's a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment, okay? And also a violation of your right to free association. So when they do that, they know all your associates. So there's nothing free about that.
And then, all right, let me ask you again what you just said. Did you say that they are actively now looking for things to convict and prosecute for? They're going through this database and looking for things. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, and one of my best sources for that was Director Mueller of the FBI. He was giving testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee on the 30th of March of 2011. And in that testimony, he said that one of the things he was doing to stop a future Fort Hood, a U.S. person becoming radicalized and killing other U.S. people, was to get together with the DOD and have this technology database. It's called Stellar Wind, where it's all the domestic collection of data on every U.S. citizen. And he said that, that database would allow him to do things like, with one query, get all past and all future emails on a person as they came in. So, in other words, everything they had stored on you from the past would come up to them, and everything that you're sending currently then would pop up to them as it happened. So
this is chilling.
That's the power of this.
I mean, we're in a situation. On 1 to 10, how I hate to use this word, but how, like, desperate should we feel? When I say desperate, I don't mean panicked. I mean urgency. How urgent should we feel about reversing this?
In my mind, it should be the first thing on the agenda for the next president. The reason is pretty straightforward. I mean, this is I didn't follow up with what happens after that. What they do is after they arrest people, they tell state and local police to go arrest people, and they don't give them the basic evidence. They tell them to go, or they go around, either they or they have them go around, and through using standard policing techniques, come up with the same evidence. Of course, it helps that you know where it is. They use the data they did after the arrests to substitute that for the NSA data in a court of law. And they don't tell
what?
The judges or the lawyers or anybody. And so that's called parallel construction. And there's policy set for that. And we got the slides of defining the policy. You're not to put anything in writing. You're not to tell the judges, the lawyers, or anybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's a direct subversion of our entire judicial process. And it's also called basic perjury in court. Because NSA data is not allowed, you know, was acquired without a warrant, so you can't admit it in a court of law, things like that. And that's why they do this parallel construction.
So I don't even know what to say.
It means, one of the federal agents, according to Reuters, who did the interview, this only came out, you know, like in August of 2013, right after the Snowden material. And it only came out then, but they did an interview with one of the federal agents that was involved in this program, and he said, "This is such a great program. I just hope we can keep it secret."
Who was that? My jaw is.
It was a federal agent. This has been documented by Reuters in August, I think it was, of 2013.
Oh my God!
This is basic criminality by our government, yeah, and destroying our fundamental rights under the Constitution, and destroying the not only just destroying the Constitution, but also fundamentally having a secret law under
our
which
unalienable
we're all
rights,
being governed.
Our unalienable rights. They're offending God. Really, they're offending God is what this is doing. Let me ask you a specific question. I've heard this said a million times. You probably heard it, especially when I was younger. I mean, maybe now not so much. People are starting to see it. But how would you respond if somebody said, "Well, Mr. William Binney, if you got nothing to hide, if you didn't do anything wrong, then what's the problem?" How would you respond to that?
I always respond very simply. That's a great quote from Joseph Goebbels. and if you don't believe it, Google it, and you'll find that he said exactly that. Also, I would also point out that, the whole idea of what they're doing here in terms of getting people to believe what they're saying is through repetition. And I got another great quote for that one from Adolf Hitler. He says, and you can Google this and find it on the web yourself. He said, "If you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one, and tell it often till it's believed." And it's the idea that's told often that makes it believable. This is why this Russiagate thing is so difficult to get rid of, because nobody wants to believe that what they've sunk their faith in for, you know, three and a half years or whatever it is a lie. And then, unfortunately, people just can't take an objective look at what they've been basically bamboozled into.
See, that is such a good point, because that's why the vaccine issue is such a hard issue to turn, because they've told this lie over vaccines are safe and effective, vaccines are safe and effective, vaccines are safe and effective, and they have the doctors, and they have the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's so hard to overturn it, but all these mothers, they're turning it, and people like Sherry Tenpenny, the two of them together. Anyway, let me move on. Anything else you want to say about this? Has been a real good interview. I hope you've had a good time here so far.
Sure, I have. Yeah, I always do.
I really, you've told me some things I didn't know, and it's not that doesn't usually happen on a interview. But let me ask you about voting.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll just throw it out there. Tell us about voting. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we have been suggesting to various people around Washington and so on, and even in Texas there, that there's a way to validate and verify who the real true eligible voters are before they vote. And you can do it through comparison and merging of various databases and validating it through.
Is this hard? Like, is this difficult?
No, it's not. It's not. It's just basic computer processing, you know? I mean, you have to have the right rules to do the normalization process, but other than that, it's not that difficult.
Okay, here's the question. How long would it take you to be able to identify and clear up the voting records of a state?
Given the access, immediate access to the databases involved, probably on the order of 3 to 4 months.
For the country, 4 months, in less than half a year, you could clean up the voting records of the whole country.
Yeah, and not only that, when you compare it to the census take, you could also tell where all the illegal aliens are.
Ooh, 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 whoa. So you
and how many they are, really. We don't really know how many. You know, everybody's given an estimate, 20 million, 22 million, you know.
I've heard 11 million. They keep pounding 11 million. Seems like for 30 years I've heard 11 million. Finally, Yale came out and said, no, it's probably 22 million. That tells me that the truth is closer to 50 million. That's what I take from it.
Well, you see, you wouldn't have to guess if you did our process. That process would tell you exactly.
Oh,
and not only that,
gosh.
But where they are.
Let me ask you about the voting machine. Should I have, I mean, I'm, I don't know if you're familiar with Laura Presley's groundbreaking case in Texas on her stupid city council election. And she frowned smoking gun evidence, the algorithms of the voting machines. How much confidence should we have in these voting machines?
I would say you could trust them about as far as you could throw them.
It ain't far.
I don't know how else to put it. You know, how can you? I mean, we, as a part of our design, by the way, we also had a way of verifying and validating the counts. In other words, you know, you just have to. You can see where these machines could manipulate, change the numbers down the line as they move along. You know.
So you mean hold on. You mean to tell me? You correct me where I'm wrong. You, within 6 months, were given proper access, you could clean up all the voting records, tell where all the illegal immigrants are, and then when there is an actual vote, you can double verify it and make sure that it's accurate.
But see, the problem is we need to have, there's much more involved in this. At every polling station, you have to have like a Y connector off the optical readers or whatever they're using. So did you get a duplicate copy of the vote as it occurs? And then from that, you could run your separate thing.
Well, that's
in
not hard.
With the existing
is that
system.
Hard? Is that no. hard?
No, it's not. It really isn't. I mean, it's just a matter of having the problem is, from my perspective, we don't have the will to do it. That's the real problem.
Well, I don't know if we even know it's. They talk like it's splitting the atom or you know, sailing the Mars or something, like it's so difficult, but you're telling me that it's like snapping a finger for somebody like you, just a little bit of time and effort.
I call it to the people I talk to, I call it Trivial Pursuit.
So this is like 101 for you.
Yeah, it's not, we're used to doing things in quantities of trillions. This is, you know, just a couple hundred million.
I don't know what to say. What should I be asking you right now? Because this is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the problem I see is that people don't seem to be having the will to actually do something.
I think they don't know. Do you think it's the will? I mean, I think the people are sitting at home. And that's exactly goes back to our meeting and what we talked about, this plan. They don't even know what to do or how to get a hold of it or whatever. That's why this plan is so beautiful, because you can affect something locally. That's what I think. I think they don't know.
Like I say,
hopefully, hopefully, allegedly.
Yeah, right. But I mean, you know, Well, it costs a little money to get started to do it, but you know, after that's done, why, it's pretty easy to replicate. So it's not a major issue to actually be able to make things happen.
You know, I don't know what the cost is, but I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts it doesn't cost as much as giving illegals health care. Just you know.
I was thinking
just
somewhere around $5 million would get the prototype in place,
gosh.
And then we could replicate it for, you know. Once you have the software done and what you have to do is you also have to put sniffers on the line, you know, sniffer monitors what happens on the line, so that at every air gap in the line from, you know, polling station to county to state to federal, you know, in federal elections, you'd have sniffers to watch the counting and what was being passed from one to the other. So you could see where the variation or any changes to that data would occur. And once you discover that, why, then you could actually focus in on the network log for that area, and you could see who actually made that change. So in other words, you could catch the criminals as they do the event.
We got about two or three minutes left. I don't know if there's anything specifically you wanted to bring up. Certainly can. I wanted to ask you, to you personally, again, another personal question. How important and what does the Bill of Rights mean to you, and also the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, getting their just powers by the governor. I missed the last part up, but what does those two things mean to you?
It means everything. I mean, that's the fundamental. Those are the principles for life.
Well, you got a minute and a half left. Do you want to expound? Want to go somewhere else? I mean, that was it. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as so fundamental to what we are as human beings. You know, it's just so fundamental. That's all. You know, a lot of people saying these are old documents, old ideas, and so on. No, they're not. They're fundamental to life. Period.
We got about a minute or so. All you've been through and all the sacrifices you've made and the abuse that you've taken and the, has it, I don't want to say has it been worth it. That's not the word, but you know, you've been through, what is your mindset now after all these years and of everything that you've seen? Where is your mind at?
Well, I look at it as I've done the best I can to try to right the ship of state, if you will, the errors and fundamental problems within government, and I never did it for money. I always did it for the cause, basically.
Oh man, we're going to be back in touch, William, if that's okay with you, as we
sure.
get these plans and kind of tweak the messaging, make it, you know, simplify this a little better. I'm going to reach out to you and have you. I know you want to be a part of this. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
God bless you, my friend. God bless you, everybody. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. So good to be back with you. Please pray for us. Please pray for this plan. Please pray for William Binney and imagine a future. We can do this. We can do this with divine providence and God's help. The universe resonates to this, and God will be with us. Right now, from now forward, one of the main things in your prayers and your mind is this opportunity that we have. Please. Please, for the love of God and the love of your children. We'll see you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics.
Thank you, Todd.
What about probiotics?
Hey, William, thank you so much, my man.
Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.